Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. So, in case we haven't met, I am Craig Roberts. I've been going to this church since 1997, and I'd like to thank Pastor Bob for inviting me to speak to you today. And I have my remarks written out so that I don't forget anything. As many of you know, I grew up in the state of Oklahoma. I'm actually very proud to be a native of Oklahoma. The state has a lot to be proud of. But, in my opinion, its historical treatment of its gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered citizens, as well as the spiritual negativity most of its churches propagate, should bring the state only shame. I was fortunate that my family attended a fairly benign and, frankly, spiritless Presbyterian church. More so the former than the latter. So growing up, that was my impression of church. It was something that one did because of what society expected, but in reality, it had no positive nor negative effect on your life. At the time, I did have envy for classmates that attended larger and more active churches, but these churches were, for the most part, deeply fundamentalist and evangelical. So nowadays, I'm thankful that I grew up in a church that, while spiritless, was also free of bigotry and condemnation. So the neutrality actually worked in my favor. Once I left home for college, I stopped attending church, in any church. Fundamentalist propaganda has succeeded in convincing me that the Christian church had no room for a gay man like myself. And for almost 20 years, I felt that mainstream religion was just a joke, and so was the Christian church of any denomination. I moved to San Diego in 1987 at the age of 25 to attend San Diego State University, studying for my master's degree in electrical and computer engineering. The move was terrifying and life-changing. But once I got past the cultural shock, I found my life here enriched in ways I could never have predicted. However, the spiritual aspect of my life continued to be ignored. Within a few years, though, I began to hear about PBUMC, and not just once, but several times. It wasn't anything I was seeking out, but this church just kept popping up on the periphery of my life. And if you'd like to know more about that, I can ask me. It's almost mystical the way that PBUMC kept popping up. And so, in early 1997, a former boyfriend decided to move to San Diego. When he suggested he'd like to attend a gay-friendly church, I knew just where to go. In short order, like 2 weeks, that relationship ended for good. My ex attended this church only 2 times, but I kept going. And now I've been here almost 23 years. My attendance at PBUMC taught me that what the Bible really says, and more accurately doesn't say, about the LGBT community. The biblical knowledge I've gained has taught me that I am as much a child of God as anyone, and that I have a right to God's grace and love as I am. I don't need to be changed. In short, being part of the PBUMC family all these years has been life-affirming for me in ways I could never have imagined back in 1997. But I want to point out that I came to PBUMC from a position of privilege. I was a college-educated white man in a well-paying profession. I already owned a home here in San Diego at the age of 35 when I joined this church. I was already enjoying driving my first Jeep, the first of three. I'd become active in the San Diego County Democratic Party and was benefiting from the alliances I'd made as a result and my ability to effect change through politics. And yet, I needed this church. And so if this church was still essential to a person like me with all of my worldly advantages and privilege, imagine what it must mean to those with next to nothing. When I first began attending PBMC, I was personally heartened and enriched by its stance on LGBT people, but I was most impressed by its ministry to the unsheltered in the Pacific Beach area. Its longstanding commitment through its Wednesday night meals and medical clinic is, in my opinion, the very heart of this church's existence. What we now call Project Grace, in all of its forms, is what shows that we walk our talk. But for a few years now, Project Grace has been an enormous budgetary drain on our church, and I can tell you this as the chair of the Finance Committee. The independent nonprofit formed to cover that ministry's expenses has failed to make its fundraising goals year after year, and it's not by a lack of intent or incompetence or anything, it's just the way it's happened. This church has never failed to step in to make sure that this ministry can continue. Unfortunately, all those years of financial support has had a toll on our church's financial stability. I am sad to say that we are fast approaching a point where we can either have a fully functioning church or Project Grace, but we cannot have both. So the choice might be obvious. If we cannot continue Project Grace, what does that say about our congregation? We will continue to have a beautiful church with well-groomed grounds, a tastefully decorated sanctuary, thank you, Lewis, and incredible music, thank you, Ron. But in my opinion, our heart will be gone. Now, several of us are working to stabilize the nonprofit so that this situation turns around. We believe that there is hope to finally make the homeless outreach self-sufficient. Our church would continue to host the outreach, but with minimal financial commitment. That is our goal and our vision. But in the short term, we need to stabilize our church's financial situation. And so I want to leave you with these questions. How many cups of coffee do you buy, or how often do you eat out over the course of a year? Would you be willing to forego the occasional cup of coffee or meal out to give the support of this faith community? Many of us work for companies that support local charitable programs. Are you willing to find out if your employer does this? And are you willing to manage the application and paperwork process to benefit Project Grace? Many of us have friends who may or may not be religious, but who have a heart for helping their community. Who do you know who might be interested in volunteering for Project Grace? And not just necessarily on Wednesday night, but we need board members as we are rebuilding this nonprofit. Who do you know who would be interested in supporting a charitable event that feeds thousands of plates a year, host medical and dental care, and provides access to other services to avoid or escape homelessness. Are you a grant writer, or do you know someone who is? This will become very important for Project Grace. Part of being a community is that we aren't in this as individuals. We pray and care for each other, we support each other, and we work together. We can achieve anything when we do it with each other and with God. I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story. I hope it's been meaningful to you.
Thank you, Craig. Today's scripture reading it reads to this point that Craig has made this morning. It's from Acts 4, 32 to 37. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the abundance of grace that was at work among them all. There was no needy person among them. Those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Joseph, whom the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, that is, one who encourages, was a Levite from Cyprus. He owned a field, sold it, brought the money, and placed it in the care under the authority of the apostles.
One thing that I have learned from my seminary classes, and I'm ringing, I'm going to walk up here. One thing that I have learned is that God does not call us to be individuals. God calls us to be a community. And I think that runs countercultural to the way that our society is built. I don't have a field, and I probably wouldn't go out and sell it to share the proceeds. But this challenges me to think about the ways that God has provided for me and how God is calling me to provide for others. Not just standing up here and saying words for people in a congregation, but materially. Not only providing for people spiritually, but physically. I'll give you a confession. I live in Hillcrest, and most mornings when I come to church, there's a woman on the corner of University and Fifth Avenue. And she has a sign and she waves it. Most times I don't stop. Most times I don't look at her. And today I had a $5 bill in my wallet. And I thought, maybe I should roll, because I was in the far right lane where she was. I could have rolled down my window. What's a $5 bill? What's a $5 bill to me? And what's a $5 bill to that woman? And I didn't. And these verses make me think hard about my choices. What Craig said makes me think hard about my choices. But what do they also say about us? Who are we as a community called to be? So sorry, I went off script. But this is a time for us to share with each other. That's why I've got this. To share with each other, how have you experienced community here at Pacific Beach? I've got 8 minutes. I can stand here.
Well, I found the community of music here at Pacific Beach United. And I've been coming here since 1959. On and off, we've had different directors. Honestly, Ron is the best that we've ever had. Amen. He encourages us. And it's my extended family. That's the way I feel about it.
And I'm Bill Harper, and I've been coming here for, I don't know, since my oldest daughter was 12 years old, so about 23 years, I guess. And it was interesting you asked, what way do you experience community here? It's kind of funny, but of my family, I'm pretty much the only one who comes to church regularly. But in my family, not just my family, but my friend's family, extended, a lot of them consider this their church. And they'll come here for the Christmas musical or for Christmas Eve services. And so I can think of 20 people that are tied to this church in one way or another. And that's how I feel community with this church.
Thank you.
My name is Rose. the first time that I came here, I had been away from church for many, many years. It took me 13 years after coming out. I pulled away from church. And even though I grew up in church, singing in choir since I was 9 years old, the first time I came here, I was actually talking to Ron and Lewis about this, is the first time that I actually felt something at a church. Just the presence of God and the Spirit of God, it was just so beautiful and unbelievable and overwhelming. I just cried. I cried for so long. I was in the back, and then I was pulled over to meet Ron, and I joined the choir the same day. And to me, everyone here is my family. You guys are all my family, and I love this church very dearly, and it makes me think that I need to get more involved also with the community.
Everyone in the front rows are children of God, and I love you all dearly. But I want people from the back five rows. Who in the back five? Yes.
Good morning. I'm your friendly greeter. I'm Beth, and I haven't been coming here very long, off and on, because basically I have lived in South Carolina. It's very different, as some of you may know, and as Craig talks about religion in Oklahoma, religion in South Carolina is different too. It's more about you're all sinners and you're all going to hell and you need to repent. So if you go to a funeral, you won't hear how wonderful anyone is. It's just, don't be caught short. You need to shape up and don't let this happen to you that you may not know where you're going. So at about the age of 13, I think my sisters and I rebelled against the First Baptist Church. And our mother had been a Sunday school teacher, but not a crazy religious person, you know. And we said, we're not going anymore. And she said, all right. My mother later told people, she said, I've decided the church is just a money-making racket. Okay, that was her opinion. I continued sporadically to go to any and every church when I wanted to. When people invited me, it didn't matter, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Catholic, Hindu, I didn't care. I'd just go with you because you're my friends. So I hope to be here for 23 years or longer. But, of course, I got a little age on me, so I don't really think that's where I'll be. But I want to say that I really enjoy this church. I tell people about it. And when my new housemaid asked me about church, I said, well, he said he didn't go. I said, that's okay. I said, when I'm at home, I don't go. When I'm out here, I do go. Because the word is still the same, but the message is presented differently. So I appreciate the way the message is presented here.
I'm Susanna, and I've been coming here for 25 years. I came in my girls and April's kids and Sally's kids were still kind of young, so they grew up in the church, and now they're young and are figuring things out. But whenever I talk about the church or somebody from the church, it's just, they remember, and they still, even though they don't attend, they still call it our family. I feel like I'm at home when I'm here. I know everybody, and I just feel everybody embrace me like I did, like they did the first day that I came here, Dick and Gail and some who have passed on. So this is home to me.
It's from the back rows.
Oh. So confession, I'm really a front row person, but I'm sitting back here. And I look around and I've been in small groups and at meals and in activities and choir and committees with almost everybody here. And sometimes I feel like Happy, who was our fox terrier, a much beloved dog, and he would climb up on bed with us and snuggle in between us so that we could both pet him and snuggle under the covers. And I feel like that dog here, like I'm all snuggled in and loved. And my biggest problem with the church is that it's hard not to volunteer for everything that comes up. So I love y'all. That's how I feel.
Good morning. My name's Karen, and I'm Claudia Jones's daughter. What community means to me as a daughter who leaves her mother and goes back home and shovels snow and knows that her mother is taken care of here as family. When we walked in 2 weeks ago, the love that came from everyone, the circles of hugs, everything just warmed my heart, and I know it warmed hers. She's been coming here, I believe, for 15 years and always was known as the Campland Ladies. Some of those Campland Ladies aren't able to come anymore. And some will be here soon. But I'd like to just thank you from the bottom of my heart for the community that you give every year to her. Thank you.
Come back to me a second.
I think the essence of what this church is it makes you feel like you belong here. This is your home. That's all.
As we think about the ways that we are community together, I invite you to ponder in your own heart how you can pass that community on, either to the people beside you or to the people outside of these four walls, how you can be Christ for them. Please join your hearts with mine as we enter into a space of prayer. God, whose name is love, whose many names that we experience in the 21st century are above any other name that we could possibly know. We thank you for the wonderful privilege of being in community with one another, for the ways that we can relate to one another in the same ways that you, through your Son, relate to us. In the many ways that we are not only blessed, but also broken, we ask that you would continue to not only be present with us, but that we would be alert, open, and attuned to your presence. Today we think especially for those affected by the Kincaid fire and the Tick fire. We know that these are seasons like any other, but they are no less devastating. They cause no less pain or harm than any who have gone before. And so, God, we ask that in all things you would work and move, and that you would squeeze the good out of every event. 2,000 years ago, the disciples, much like today, really weren't sure how to pray, how to communicate back to you. And so today we join our voices with thousands of Christians across the millennia as we pray the prayer your Son taught them, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.